As we continue our coverage from the Summer Cattle Industry Conference in Denver, talking with Ross Wilson, President and CEO of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association. Well, certainly the summertime of 2011 was an extremely tough time for our Southern Plains feedlots in Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico that TCFA represents. 2012 is turning out to be a tough year as well. Ross, let's talk a little bit about where we are right now in our Southern Plains feed yards. Your TCFA members are facing a pretty tough situation. Jim Ross with the Livestock Market Information Center calling this one of the toughest markets right now ever for our feedlot industry in recent memory. It seems like things have gone bad in a hurry.
They have gone downhill to a bad situation or a bad spot in a hurry, Ron. You're exactly right. And I would concur with Jim. This drought continues to get, you know, larger, seems day by day. It's affecting an early corn crop in a more dramatic way than it probably would have in previous years. And we've all seen what's happened to corn prices. You know, the saving grace coming out of a very tough 2011 in Texas and Oklahoma, southwestern part of the United States, with dwindling cattle numbers, was that our ration prices might be okay. Well, that's gone out the window, and production costs have escalated. Cattle coming out of the feed yards today are losing at least $200 a head, and in some instances more. So this is really going to test the intestinal fortitude of a lot of cattle feeders and a lot of livestock producers. They have it, but it's unfortunate that after what we've come out of 2011, that now we've got to face a similar situation in 2012.
Obviously, with the dwindling numbers, we've cut back quite a bit on the herd in recent years. We were hoping to start rebuilding the mama cow herd to get some inventory back up. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Mother Nature is not going to cooperate on rebuilding this herd. Let's face it, pasture situation is just not going to allow that.
2011, one thing that we did see, cattle prices held up reasonably well. June of this year, first part of July, dramatic fall off. Fat somewhat, but especially these yearling prices, and that trickled back to the calf prices.
Oh, no question. I mean, we have seen a textbook example of the equation in cattle production, at least at the cattle feeding sector, but it flows back to the rest of the producers, just as you noted. And cattle feeders don't like it any better than anyone else. But when corn goes up as dramatically as it did, they absolutely cannot afford to pay as much for feeder cattle, and then feeders pay as much for stockers as they did previously. So we've seen a tremendous hit on those two sectors, important sectors of the cattle production chain. You know, most of it being the drought, but as you know yourself, over 5 billion bushels, the largest consumer of corn now in this country is ethanol. And we still are working hard to see if we can't reduce that RFS mandate. You may have already heard this, but there's some companies that are now importing corn from Brazil. Those numbers are not dramatic. And fundamentally speaking, it won't make a big it won't make a significant difference as far as supplies are concerned. But psychologically, I hope it at least sends a message that this market has gotten, corn market's gotten out of whack. The drought did some of it. Ethanol already had it in a precarious situation. Supplies were going to be tight anyway, and now we have the drought doing what it's doing to new crop corn. So I would hope that our policymakers in Washington would stop and step back and look at, we have imported corn coming in from Brazil, we have record exports of ethanol, we have record exports of DDGs, and we're spending taxpayer dollars to subsidize the production of ethanol, a mandated production. So, and really, when I say taxpayer dollars, obviously the direct subsidies to ethanol production are gone, but that significant government intervention is the RFS mandate.
The underlying floor, I guess, floor,
right.
You'd say, yeah.
Well, it's mandated demand is what it is.
One other area I know that's real important as far as TCFA membership is concerned, your feedlots in Southern Plains, We have been able to supplement our U.S. cattle with some good supplies of Mexican cattle. That I know there's a lot of drought there. That those numbers are coming to an end as well.
They are. They have dropped off quite a bit, and we all wonder if there is an absolute end. I don't think we'll hit an absolute end, but the numbers that we import from Mexico will go down fairly significantly if they don't get rain just as we do. I know your listeners know this, but I'll just add that, you know, Mexico has been our number one or number two beef customer now for several years. And so it is a good two-way street that we have with the country. The record level of about 1.5 million head that we imported last year is going to go down for the reasons that we've talked about. And in fact, that level was exaggerated, for lack of a better term, because the drought was shoving those cattle north to greener pastures, and they were coming in really at some of the lightest weights that some of our members had ever seen. So no question about it, we have short cattle supplies in the States. We have short cattle supplies in Mexico. It's going to be a very interesting remainder of 2012, and this issue, though, extends into 2013 and even beyond to 2014.
And I guess what the capacity of your feedlots are such that tighter numbers mean your feedlots are having to chase fewer cattle.
No question about it. Our members are sourcing cattle from areas of the country that they haven't sourced from before because they simply have to. As you noted, occupancy levels are down. We have some members that are completely full, but we have some members that are very low. We have some members that used to finish feed 100% of the capacity of their yard that are now backgrounding cattle and finish feeding. And we have a few that have totally changed their business model and are now backgrounding cattle exclusively.
So some structural changes then.
Those are structural changes, and it makes you know, the question becomes, will they transition back to full finished feeding? Time will only tell, but we hear a lot of talk, and appropriately so, about the bunk space that may be taken out of production because of these changes, the shrinking cattle herd, and now this escalation in feed prices that we see. That's already been happening. And it's not manifesting itself in closed feed yards by and large. There are a few of those around the country, but it's manifesting itself in that bunk space being used for something other than finished feeding.
Well, the area, Ross, and that is, at this meeting, obviously a lot of issues going on. One or two things that are especially of interest to your folks.
Well, certainly everyone in agriculture is interested in the Farm Bill. And now the talk out of D.C. is we might not get anything more than a simple one-year extension. I think that disappoints everyone. We were pleased that Congress chose not, both the Senate completely and the House committee chose not to meddle in livestock ownership and production and put a livestock title in the bill. We very much appreciate that. There are a number of other things that were in the Farm Bill or not in the Farm Bill that NCBA and the state affiliates, TCFA, TSCRA, OCA, of course, and others worked hard on. So that's been a big issue. We're all trying to decide now that we have had the appellate body ruling out of the World Trade Organization on country of origin labeling. How do we best move forward with that so that we don't get retaliatory actions out of Canada and Mexico that are directed at the U.S. beef and cattle industry? Because they've won the arguments, and it is, for lack of a better term, basically a non-tariff trade barrier that we have against their products. There are one and two trading partners. We need to fix that.
President, CEO, Texas Cattle Feeders Association, Ross Wilson, joining us today on the Oklahoma Farm Report. I'm Ron Hayes.